and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 24th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and sleepy Melissa Henson.
I'm sleepy. It's late. Yep. Hope we're doing this. Yep. So if I just nod off, somebody, you know, shake me.
Okay.
What is your... me in bed.
What has your week in entertainment been like?
Not too much. I was traveling a bit, you know, what's new. Yeah. But Hannibal ended this Ooh. Week, and I talked a little bit about it before and how good it was. And
right.
I have talked a bunch about The Good Wife being the best show on network television.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Hannibal is.
Now, we know Brian Fuller. We love Brian Fuller, his previous efforts. And this is a very different show for him.
It is. I've said this before. It's very, very visual.
Yeah.
But this is the creepy visual, not the, like, lighthearted.
Fantastical, wonderful.
Kind of thing. Yeah, kind of this fantastical world. It is a fantastical world, but it's a fantastical world with lots and lots and lots of dead bodies.
Okay.
This show is not for everyone. And unfortunately, I'm so upset because I want to tell everyone who thinks they can handle the subject matter to go watch it.
Yeah.
But it was on Hulu. Just on the computer, they didn't have, you know, the rights to screen it on their TV.
Okay.
But it's not the episodes. And NBC.com doesn't have all the episodes. It's just like the last few.
But it did get picked up for next season.
So it did get picked up. I'm so excited. But the season finale, like the last scene, was perfection.
Wow.
It took what everybody... Or not everybody, a lot of people thought might happen, and what I was actually a little worried might happen.
Yeah.
And they did it, but they twisted it. And it was just brilliant.
Now, how does this differ from Dexter?
It's different. Dexter, to me, is more like kind of the fast food version.
Ooh.
I can do a little pun there. It's, you know, I really like Dexter. They're both about serial killers. They both, you know, have some dark bits in them and gore and blood and all of that. But the purpose of any gore in this is not shock value.
Huh.
I don't, it's part of this world. It's just the, I don't know, kind of the way it is. And I think some in Dexter, there's lots of shock stuff going on.
Okay.
And this is, you know what? There's really twisted, freaky people in the world, and they do nasty things to other people. And that's why you see it, not because there's some shock value of it. Now, I love Dexter. I've talked about it. It's a great show. But Dexter, I watch it on DVD, and I kind of chain smoke it.
Okay.
And it's fine that way. You cannot do that with Hannibal. You mm-hmm. have to, like, savor every episode. These food things are not intentional. But you have to savor it because it's so... It's high... You know, Dexter is a really great burger.
Yeah.
Like, Hannibal is, like, an amazing steak. Like, filet mignon. Kind of thing. It's just... It's a different... It's a different feel to it.
Now, does this world fit with the Jodie Foster, Anthony Hopkins version of the same character?
Yeah.
It does. So
well, Jodie's character isn't in this. It's the whole William Peterson's character.
I know, but I mean, I'm just wondering if they're two different.
No, it's their own version for sure.
Okay. Right.
Of these characters, but it is Will Graham. It is Hannibal Lecter.
So do you see a young Hannibal Lecter is who you're really watching from the Anthony Hopkins that we know?
It's different.
Okay.
They do their own spin, but it's not completely out of line with it.
Okay.
Either. And can I say Scott Thompson?
Yeah.
Is again one of the best things on television.
Wow.
And it's so nice to see.
Wow.
And he's not over the top funny because it wouldn't fit. He's just enough funny quirk in it, you know, to get a little smile in the midst of all this.
And, you know, speaking of kids in the hall, I mean, Bruce McCullough showed up on Arrested Development for a couple episodes as Anvil's dad's priest.
Like TV show partner.
Right, right. So those guys are still around. And Dave Foley, of course, is...
Dave Foley was just on the Goodwin Games.
Oh, nice.
He played a inappropriate high school drama teacher.
Oh, my God.
So,
Eddie's doing a voice at Monsters University as one of the newer characters.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So, yeah. It is good to see that those guys are still getting work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's when he showed up, because I hadn't realized. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. So, it's, yeah.
So, you will be looking forward to season two.
I'm very much looking forward to season two and to see what they do with it, because they kind of wrapped up some storyline.
Okay.
But which that wrap up led us into massive new storyline. So,
but I mean, let's be honest. Brian's shows do not have a great track record of sticking around very long.
Nope. I'm surprised this got renewed. I am dumbfounded that this is on regular network TV.
Okay.
And it's not, it should be a cable show. It should be a Showtime HBO kind of thing.
Well, NBC has been in the basement.
And not like it should be, because it would be better then.
Yeah.
No, they're doing what you would expect on Showtime.
Hmm.
I can't believe NBC lets them do what they do.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I made it to the theater twice since we last spoke. I saw Man of Steel.
Okay.
And my fears were somewhat realized. I mean, I was very hesitant, you know. Dave Johnson and I have gone back and forth with this. He was, you know, eternally optimistic. He could not wait to see this. And he felt, after he saw it, because Dave and Eric and Mac and I had dinner, and Dave had seen it, the other three of us had not, he felt that it lived up to his expectations, and it was exactly what he was expecting. This is Christopher Nolan's Superman, right? I mean, it was written, co-written by Chris, directed by Zack Snyder, who toned down his style that we've seen in the past in Watchmen and 300. It's more grounded in reality. It's not as flashy, hyper-realistic. But there's very little joy in this movie. The one thing I liked, I think, about the Superman incarnations in the past, both Smallville, the Christopher Reeve stuff, I'm pretending that the Bryan Singer Superman Returns never existed, because that was just such a horribly bad movie. The animated series, Justice League animated series, Superman had a set, for as dark as Batman could be, Superman had operated in the light. He had a sense of joy about him. There was a sense of humor about
very
him.
Much.
Well, now we've deconstructed Superman into this base kind of mopey, I don't want to say emo, because he's not like gothy in any way, but he's not having fun. You know, and maybe it's just the story, the way it was written.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say this is Clark Kent Begins, you know, because it really creates the character of Clark. It's interesting. It's worth seeing, but know that the final act of the film is going to give you a massive headache if you cannot stand Michael Bay style action. Because that's what it is for almost a half hour. It's two guys or a bunch of guys beating the snot out of each other.
I don't like that. That's not Superman. He like flies really fast and saves things.
But he saves nothing here.
Okay. He doesn't beat the shit out of people.
They destroy Metropolis. I mean, there's buildings that collapsed in Transformers style.
No. He catches people as they fall. Nope. He doesn't, you know, drop them.
He saves Lois. He saves Lois. And there is a scene in which he saves a whole bunch of people early on. There are a bunch of...
Yeah, but that's what he saves. He doesn't... No, I don't like it. Never mind. I'm not going to see it. I don't like it.
There is plenty of room for improvement. Henry Cavill does a great job.
Okay, good.
The Kevin Costner flashbacks in this to his being Pa Kent, Jonathan Kent, are phenomenal. I loved those moments. Kevin is beautiful in this film, and I'm not a huge Kevin Costner fan.
No,
but he was perfect. And it fits. It fits with the stuff that John Schneider and Tom Welling did on Smallville. Fits with what the guys who played young Superman or young Clark Kent in this with Kevin Costner. And Henry does get a couple scenes with Kevin. I shouldn't say that. Diane Lane, I could do without. I love the character of Martha Kent. I don't think Diane really sells it. Lawrence Fishburne plays Perry White. Which I'd love to see more of that. Amy
There's
Adams.
No Jimmy Olsen, right?
There is no Jimmy Olsen yet. I'm sure there will be in the next one. Richard Schiff from West Wing, Toby from West Wing, plays Dr. Emil Hamilton, which is a great little role for him. And Amy Adams, I can tolerate as Lois Lane. I mean, I like her in general. There's a lot more she can do with this character.
It doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but that's better than Kate Bosworth, so.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, hell yes. She's no Margot Kidder, but hey, who is?
Yeah.
So it's worth seeing.
Terry Hatcher?
Terry Hatcher. I forgot about that. The Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher version of Lois and Clark was, I also adored that show. And Terry had an intensity to her, but she had fun. You know, she enjoyed, there was that sparring back and forth. We haven't quite seen that yet with these two characters. So there's plenty.
Here's the thing, the movie's over.
Yep.
I don't like that. Like, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Like, everything for
But it's a much bigger story than just the two of them, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I guess they're rushing the next one into production, which does not bode well if they're not going to take time to develop a real story and they're just going to crank another one out.
Yeah.
The other movie I saw was the stoner comedy, This Is the End.
Oh, God, I still want to see that. It looks horribly brilliant.
It is very funny for the first hour. And then, like,
and
the
then,
old...
Is it touching?
What's that?
I heard it was, like, touching, kind of.
There are moments. There are moments.
There was some sweet touching stuff in it, too.
You know, all these guys play themselves. Jay Butchero, I never know how to say his name.
Yeah, whatever. The other guy who's in all those movies with them.
Right. Jay and Seth have been friends for a very long time. And I forgot about the whole Freaks and Geeks thing, because they play Seth and James Franco's relationship is kind of odd, but they're very close, even though Seth doesn't realize they're very close. Like, James loves Seth, and he doesn't understand why.
Nice.
So I forgot about the whole Freaks and Geeks thing.
Yeah.
But there is a reference that's made to it later on. So it is these bunch of friends that wind up in these unusual circumstances, because it is the apocalypse, and they're all fighting for their lives. And there's people who you recognize and you know who die in gruesomely horrible and hilarious ways. But after an hour, the joke kind of gets old. They don't do too much with it. Which, if you go to this movie completely stoned, you're going to find the rest. It's like a Cheech and Chong movie. You're going to find it much funnier than you would if you were completely sober. So you might want to wait for it to come to DVD and then just have a party at your house where you toke up and, you know, enjoy it, because you're going to – it gets really weird.
You're not saying that specifically.
I am not endorsing this, no. But what I'm saying is the way these guys operate, and you know who these people are, and you know what kind of things they imbibe in when they're not working, or sometimes in Seth's case when you are working. So it is funny. The premise is funny. I guess it's based on a short film that Seth and another Evan Goldberg had done together. And they just expanded it into a bigger story, which, of course, a one-note joke can only go so far. But it is funny. I mean, it's worth seeing.
Okay.
So, but those are my two experiences, and both of them are pretty much in the middle of the pack of what happened at the box office this past weekend.
Yeah. Monsters University came in first with $82 million.
Despite the fact that the critics weren't in love with it, and there's people who are saying that Pixar's reign is over because now they've kind of botched three movies in a row. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not quite, and to me, when you keep going back to the, well, you know.
Yeah.
Can we have something new?
Right.
We've had a whole bunch of sequels. Can we do something new, guys?
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyhow, second, World War Z, $66 million.
Which Bill Gibran says they did a lot of things right, but they forgot to include zombies.
Oops. That's not so good for a zombie movie. All right. And then Man of Steel was in third, $41 million. And then This Is the End, in fourth with $13 million. Yeah. And Now You See Me with just under $8 million.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait for a DVD for that one, but I do want to see World War Z. It's going to be actually a crowded box office starting on Friday. We've got nothing earlier in the week, but we've got White House Down, which I guess is the second White House disaster picture this summer after Olympus Has Fallen, which I think it was Aaron Eckhart playing the president in that one. This one's Roland Emmerich's version with Channing Tatum. playing, he's basically playing John McClane to Jamie Foxx's Barack Obama.
Nice.
That's what it looks like from all the trailers.
He's not wearing a shirt for a lot of it, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, John McClane, the like undershirt kind of thing. And yeah, pretty much.
We've got the Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy buddy cop comedy, The Heat, from Bridesmaids director Paul Feig. We've got Redemption, which is the next Jason Statham British crime drama. He's a disgraced ex-Special Forces officer who becomes London's avenging angel.
Of course he does.
That's all he does, right? Director Neil Jordan shows up.
Where's he been?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But his movie is called Byzantium. It's a fantasy thriller starring Gemma Arterton and Saoirse Ronan as two mysterious women who arrive in a small resort town with a deadly secret.
Ooh, I'm always so impressed when you just say her name like right out there, just flowing. I have to stop and really concentrate. Okay.
But it's based on a stage play by Maura Buffini. So I'm curious, you know, with a scope as big as that teaser would make you think, to be a stage play is really interesting. Ooh, and then we've got Pedro Almodovar's latest Spanish comedy, which reunites Penelope Cruz and Antonio Banderas in a doomed airline flight that's going to crash into Mexico City.
Excellent.
So how much romantic comedy in Spanish can you get into on a plane that's going to crash?
It's so great because the poster for it looks like kind of a 60s...
Oh, nice.
...kind of flick.
Yeah.
All those bright colors and bubbles and like kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, he's so interesting.
He does not disappoint. I don't think I've seen every one of his movies, his most recent ones, but Pedro is an amazing filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to read subtitles. Some people aren't. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
You're nicer than me. All right.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got The Beatles Help on Blu-ray. I reviewed the DVD release of this, the restoration, and actually sat in at one of the recording studios in Santa Monica as they were showing us how they made this amazing restoration. So now you're just getting the HD version of this. Yeah, I know. It was very cool. We've got Upside Down, which is basically Romeo and Juliet on two different planets where their gravities are opposite.
Nice. I'm sure Shakespeare would appreciate that.
Yeah, it's Kirsten Dunst and James Sturgis.
Okay, then.
We've got Halle Berry as a 911 operator in The Call.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Steve Carell and Jim Carrey doing magic in The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. And then here's... Ed Harris is a Russian submarine commander. And David Duchovny is a rogue KGB agent playing a game of cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically the remake of Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, movie... that's what I...
so stupid.
I'm like, wait, they weren't in that? What? Okay.
It's a movie called Phantom. So those are all on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Over at Redbox, we've got Last Exorcism Part 2, Beautiful Creatures, which I guess is another teen supernatural romance to supplant the Twilight Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Soderbergh's Side Effects, and then Dustin Hoffman's British comedy Quartet.
Okay.
Over at Netflix, we've got Joss Whedon's Avengers, finally, has made it onto Netflix. If that's not enough superheroes for you, James Gunn's Super.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that. Okay, good.
With Ellen Page and Rainn Wilson and a very twisted Kevin Bacon.
I got to go put that in my queue.
Okay.
You keep talking.
All right.
My cue, seriously.
Katy Perry's kind of musical documentary fantasy thing, Part of Me, is this week. And then John Hodgman plays a deranged millionaire offering advice on the Mayan apocalypse in Ragnarok. And it's basically him doing a stand-up thing, but playing one of these characters that he does so
that
well.
That he does on a Daily Show.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he does the... Millionaire and Daily Show.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy. Over it's true. Over at Hulu, we've got young Kiefer Sutherland and young Reese Witherspoon in Freeway. George Romero's horror anthology Dead Time Stories. Malcolm McDowell, Clint Howard, Costas Mandalore, and Downtown Julie Brown.
Sweet. Clint Howard doesn't Julie Brown. You had me at that. Come on.
In the live-action adaptation of the manga series Fist of the North Star.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then
Oh, God.
And then we found out that she lived in my neighborhood in Marina del Rey, too. So weird. And then we've got an interesting documentary called Asexuals, about people who have no interest in sex whatsoever.
I wonder if anyone we know is in that.
I'll leave it at that. That's all I've got for streaming this week.
All right. Well, TV this week, Monday, Under the Dome, finally premieres, produced by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Based on Stephen King story.
And it's kind of...
small, like, main town that all of a sudden is literally under a dome and, like, kind of force field around and nobody can come in or out.
Really? A main town? I never would have guessed.
Yeah, imagine that. So anyhow, that's on CBS. That's their big summer show. And then Tuesday, Rizzoli and Isles is back on TNT. Catfish is back on MTV. And I will tell you guys a secret.
What?
Bachelor Excited is back. Shh. Don't bless me on that. All right. Wednesday, Big Brother's back on CBS. Ugh. We have all of our typical summer stuff going on here. Friday, there's a special on PBS. Yeah. Annie, from script to stage.
Ew.
So it's just, it's all the behind the scenes of bringing Annie kind of back to Broadway.
Hmm.
So for us theater geeks out there, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Saturday on Lifetime, they have a Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, God.
Yeah, show. It's called Anna Nicole. But, okay, here's why I'm mentioning this.
Yes.
I might ignore it because I don't want y'all to watch this. But so you know how she got married to that, like, really old guy?
Yes.
And fought over his money, whatever.
Right.
Okay, you know who plays him?
Who?
Martin Landau.
Shut up.
Martin Landau's in a freaking Lifetime story of
God.
Anna Nicole.
And Martin Landau is looking extremely old these days. I mean, like...
Yeah, well, he's got to be to play... that guy.
1 foot in the grave, kind of old. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow. And then Sunday, Dexter, final season.
Dun, dun, Sorry. Dun.
It's on Showtime. So, music this week. One True Vine, Mavis Staples.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And then Brothers and Sisters, 40th Anniversary, Super Deluxe Edition, Allman Brothers.
Oh, my God.
Not just the deluxe edition, everyone.
Super
it is
deluxe.
A super deluxe edition.
Wow.
Right. Queensryche has a new album.
Oh, my God.
Queensryche.
Yeah.
Moody Blues. Timeless Flight.
Wonder how many original members are still in the band.
I don't know about that. But it's called the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
So. Natalie Cole, In Espanol.
Oh, my God.
Yep, she has an album. She's singing in Spanish.
All right.
So, Jane's Addiction has one. It was recorded in New York City in 2011. It's called Live in NYC.
Nice.
Yeah, so live album. Interesting. Scandalous, the musical, the cast recording, is out this week.
Mm.
And then, I don't know why this is out now, but Fringe, season 5 soundtrack.
Oh.
Didn't that end, like...
Yeah, the series was over.
What, a few weeks ago?
Yep.
Months ago? Anyhow, if you're missing it, you can listen to the music from it.
There you go.
So... All right. Okay, so we didn't have to say it for how many weeks?
Oh, no, he's back.
Say it twice this week.
Oh, shit.
You think they'd space it out more. Second Honeymoon by James Patterson and Howard Ruffin.
All right.
I don't know. Who cares? It's James Patterson. That's all we care about. That's the only name on him we care about. But then also his young adult series, Middle School, How I Survived Bullies, Broccoli, and Snake Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that one with Chris Tebbets. Anyhow, so two Pattersons this week, in case you were missing him. I know we all were. Okay, Chris Clue has a book.
Yeah.
Beautifully unique Sparkle Ponies.
What?
It's morons, free speech, football, and assorted absurdities.
Oh, my God.
So, anyhow, and then we have actually another children's book, My New Teacher and Me by Al Yankovic. This is the second in his series of children's books.
And he's dropped the weird.
Well, for the kids, you don't want to scare them.
Well, he is what he is.
Oh, wow. So, and then also this week, letters to Penthouse. Let me count the X's. 1, 2, 3, 4. 46.
Oh.
46th edition. Dirty Dares and Red Hot Hookups.
Oh, my God.
So, anyhow. Theater news.
Yes.
There are a couple casting newses. Newses?
News eye.
News eye. News items.
There you go.
Well, this isn't brand new casting. We knew she was coming, but Wendy Williams is taking over the role of Mama Morton.
Ugh. Well, please, nobody go see this show.
So she was actually supposed to start on the 25th, but now she's starting the 28th because she's been sick. But anyhow, yeah. Yeah, talk show queen, as they call her.
Whatever, in her own mind.
Anyhow, so if you care about that, go for it. But Neil Patrick Harris, when they finish filming How I Met Your Mother next year, he is heading to Broadway, and he is going to star in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That is going to be incredible.
If you've ever seen the movie, it's an amazingly intense story.
Yeah, it's a rock musical. It's about, transgender rock singer, and it sounds so not good.
It works.
It's really great.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible in it.
Wow.
So so that won't be until next spring.
Okay.
But they are, putting it all together, and they've announced that he will be starring in it.
Damn.
Woohoo!
All right, well.
Oh, here we go to tragic.
Yeah, I know.
Let's start with some bad news, but this is seriously upsetting bad
news. A lot of bad news this week. But yeah, James Gandolfini passed away from a heart attack at age 51 while on vacation in Italy this past week.
Yeah.
And it really, we have this kind of immortality type. I mean, death is always such a weird thing, and some people are more accepting of it than others. But you don't think about someone at age 51 who's been working very hard. And I mean, he's a big, heavy, sick guy, of course. But
yeah, and you know what? I saw pictures, really recent pictures. He was even heavier.
Really.
Yeah.
I had an uncle who passed away at 40 from a major heart attack, and it just kind of rocks you.
Yeah, just not supposed to happen.
So as I told Melissa when it happened, I'm like, I got a lot to accomplish in the next 6 years, so I got to get moving. But yeah, it's really sad. And even, Tony Soprano is going to be an iconic TV character for perpetuity. I mean, there's nobody's going to do anything quite like that. In an actor's career, you're lucky if you can get one type role like that.
Yeah.
But he has a great body of work that he accomplished.
Yeah, he's way more than just Tony Soprano.
Of course. But he will be forever identified.
Oh, absolutely.
With that character.
He should be. He created an amazing character. Ugh.
Multifaceted. Incredibly complex. It's really sad. And our best goes out to his family and friends who are struggling with that situation. Stupid people news. Paula Deen opens her mouth and loses her job.
Yep.
How dumb. Now, granted, she's a white Southern woman who's very opinionated.
Right. So first of all, I heard this, and it's this huge story. Because what it is her and her brother are being sued by someone who worked for them, claiming that he sexually harassed her and that they both were, racist, things like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I went and read the actual transcript.
Yes.
Because this was a deposition, Paula Deen. And they asked her if she ever used the N-word. And she said, of course, which is just the way she answered. It was stupid. But then they pressed her. She said, yeah, back in 1986, when I was robbed by a black guy, I think I probably said that word to my husband when I was describing him. Okay, I'm not okay to use, but I don't think that's the hugest thing in the world. So I was kind of like, this may be overblown.
Well, it's overblown,
Comes up. There's like this clip of her talking, you know, showing off her black friend, and it was like a black wall behind her, and she's like, nobody's going to see you back there. Black guy standing for the black guy. I'm like, this is just like, yeah, there's more to it than that, too, and just repeated, maybe not using the N-word, but like just being a freaking idiot.
That's just it. It's being stupid. Even if people offer up way too much information in interviews. Now, granted, I have been on the other side of that and asked people interesting questions. Now, I don't get into personal type stuff in relationships. Yeah. In fact, I interviewed Carmen Electra once, and the PR person got on me, and I didn't even think it was an appropriate question. But anyways.
How can anything possibly be inappropriate in front of Carmen Electra?
Well, my question had to do with Dave Navarro, all right?
Yeah, and I know.
It was raw at the time, so I wasn't allowed to pursue that angle. But anyways, when it comes to things like this, I don't care if you actually did it. Don't talk about stuff like this.
No. This was a deposition she was giving.
This was an interview. I thought it was a...
She's being sued. This was a deposition because she's being sued.
All right.
And I don't know how it got leaked, what she said. But then I guess her people had her apologize, and it was like the worst apology ever given.
So anyways, she's lost her Food Network gig.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are saying, I agree. Who cares if she's a racist? She's killing people with her food.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That whole thing about her own
calls black people?
Yeah. Okay.
This is black people saying this. Who cares what she's calling us? We're having heart attacks because we eat her food.
Right. And her six sticks of butter and everything she cooks.
Yeah.
More stupid news. Gerard Depardieu loses his French driving privileges for 6 months for being drunk behind the wheel. Three times the legal limit.
Wait, you're not allowed to be drunk in France?
Apparently not.
It just seems like they'd be okay with that.
They're drunk all the time, right?
Yeah, kind of surprising.
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to get the letters from the French. And I'm sure I said something wrong there, too. I'm going to get them from there.
Gabriel Girard, we apologize in advance. Casting news, Sandra Bullock will not play Miss Hannigan. Apparently the negotiations for that did not go very well, and she's not interested in pursuing that. Anna Kendrick may play Cinderella in Disney's Into the Woods.
Okay.
She proved her chops in, was it Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect. Yep.
Robert Downey Jr. completed some incredibly tense negotiations, but has signed on for 2 more Avengers films.
Yes.
That's big, big money, because they could not continue the franchise without him.
No.
And let's face it, those movies make so much freaking money. Even giving him 5% is going to break Disney's back.
No.
Paramount dropped it, but Universal picked up Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels' sequel, Dumb or Dumber 2. Like the world needs that. And then Sam Taylor Johnson has been given the arduous task of adapting and directing 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
One more thing, Roland Emmerich, speaking of Mr. Disaster, who's got a movie coming out this week, his sequel, Independence Day 2, is set for July 3rd, 2015.
Oh,
so put that on your calendar.
All right, then.
There's no word whether Will Smith will reply or Harry Connick Jr. will reprise their roles, or Bill Pullman, for that matter. He was the president back then. But
will Vivica Fox be in it? Please. No. Okay.
All right, that's all I got for entertainment news.
Okay. Well, my friend, the human algorithm, sent me this one. I actually missed it. Amanda Bynes, I guess, admitted or said or whatever, interview thing. She had her implants removed, and she's much happier being an A.
I didn't know she had implants.
She very obviously did, if you'd seen all the naked, half-naked pictures she'd been posting.
I did not look at naked pictures of Amanda Bynes.
What is wrong with you? All the rest of us have been.
I stay away from Paris Hilton. I stay away from the Kardashians. That's why that's your job. You do that kind of stuff.
Okay, fine. I will look at the naked pictures of Amanda Bynes just for you.
Thanks. Take that bullet for me.
So, the other news, and this is so funny because this was actually rumored like a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, that Kim and Kanye were going to name the baby North, which would make the name
West.
And everybody thought it was a joke. Well, they freaking did.
No.
No middle name. The baby's name is Northwest.
Oh, they're idiots. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. I really, Tara Dublin on Twitter said something about, she named the baby, Ramona. So Kanye, because his latest album was Yeezus, Yeezus and Ramona.
Oh my God.
You could have a book, Yeezus and Ramona. Okay, I thought that was just really
true. So then the next show,
and
that will be butchered, himself.
Like delivering it, so
yeah.
Total apologies to Tara on that. Poor child, like, she doesn't have enough. Like, freaking Kris Jenner is her grandmother. Like, that, her life. Let's name her Northwest. All right.
Oh, and on that bombshell, hey, do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's called Divorce Invitation.
Oh, my.
It's, like, not such a great movie. It's this younger guy who meets the girl of his dreams, but the problem is he's already married, so he wants to get divorced. And in his prenup, he has to have a divorce party with the same people that are at the wedding.
Oh, jeez.
He goes, okay, but listen who's playing, like, the parents in this.
Okay.
Elliot Gould. Lainey Kazan.
Oh, my God.
Savino's in it. Richard Kine's in it.
Whose blackmail movie is this?
I don't know, but it's our contest. So if you want to see all these great older actors,
wow,
then you're going to want to enter this and win this disc, Divorce Invitation.
Well, there you go. One more bit of entertainment news that I just remembered, because they're playing the trailer before all of the movies these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new show coming out of Showtime that is going to be paired with Dexter this season, and it's called Ray Donovan, and it stars Liev Schreiber, and Elliot Gould plays his boss, and John Voight plays his estranged father. It's basically Michael Clayton. Remember the George Clooney movie,
Clayton?
Where he's like the cleaner for this law firm,
and
he cleans things up? Well, Liev plays this character who's basically the same thing, although it looks like he gets much dirtier than George Clooney's character did. But it seems like it's almost exactly the same thing. So we'll see how well it does. You know.
What can I say? I was really impressed how smoothly you said his name, too, because I always have to stop and think on his.
Oh, right. Yeah, it is very unique.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. In any case, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week. I will be coming to you live from Chicago next week.
Ah.
It was kind of a last-minute thing, but I will be there. And yeah, until next time, Melissa Ann, take it away.
The one thing that I tried to hold on to, goodbye to you.